Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Wombat Sports here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark McHugh. I'm your host. Also, wombatsports.com and gofightlive.tv. I'm a little bit out of practice. I've been kind of gone for the past couple of months. I'm sorry about that. It's been a combination of been really busy with this my own film, 4 months until fight day. We just got our Indiegogo finished this past week. We are in the middle of production, so it's getting kind of crazy, and I haven't had an opportunity to do much of these shows, but when we get Matt on, we'll be talking a little bit about women's Muay Thai and his documentary about it. We should be up and running after July. We'll probably have a lot more episodes going once the production is over on my movie. It's been a really good ride so far. We're filming today. Charmaine Tweed has jumped on board to be a part of it. A lot of exciting things going on, and you guys can check that out. Go to Flare Dog Productions on Facebook, and you'll be able to see all that's going on. I'm going to be developing a page for 4 months until fight day sometime this week, so you guys can catch up on what's been going on as well, since our Indiegogo just finished. So I might do a quick update on the Indiegogo as well. So if you go to 4 months until fight day on Indiegogo, if you look that up, you'll be able to find that. It's 4 months until fight day. You guys can check that out as well. Let me see here. A couple of news bites while we're waiting for Matt to give us a quick call in. First of all, congratulations to Tisha Torres last night. She's currently officially 6-0 in the 6-0 professional record. A lot of people are complaining about how Tisha fights, but, you know, really, guys, have you not seen any of Tisha's fights? Tisha's what a lot of people call a points fighter. She doesn't win a lot by finishes. She's a very tactical pro fighter. She doesn't go in there and try to make it a war. A lot of people like to see it make it a war, but, you know, not all fighters are like that. And you got to kind of take that into consideration in terms of Tisha. And I kind of knew that it was going to go the distance. I didn't figure that the teacher was going to finish Angela at all. Actually, I was surprised that that teacher was able to take down Angela. I wasn't thinking that was going to happen, considering Angela's last outing where she stuffed quite a few takedowns, as it were. So it was interesting to see, to say the least. I think, you know, a lot of people considered it boring. I didn't consider it as boring as probably some other people are. Like I said on Twitter, don't hate the player, hate the game, you know. If this was a fight to the finish, I'm pretty sure it would be a lot different than, what Tisha did. But Tisha and Angela did what they did, you know. So... do I think that Tisha's, you know, even close to be ready for a title shot? I don't think so. But, you know, you can't give her credit for not winning the fight. You know, the idea is to win, not to finish. And a lot of people are kind of in the thought process that you have to finish in order to succeed in this sport. So, with that being said, you know, enough with the complaints. And wait until next weekend, because I'm pretty sure Penne versus Joanna is going to deliver. It'll be interesting to see if it ends up getting to the ground, we'll see what kind of happens there in Germany. Bad news is it's going to be on Fight Pass. So if you guys don't have Fight Pass, then kind of SOL, we're going to have to take a look on Twitter. Or you guys can follow me on Twitter at Wombat Sports, and we'll have up-to-date information on that as well. Also at WMMA News, which, again, I'm thankful for everybody at WMMA News for following me. We just passed 5,000. So thank you all for being able to do that as well. I'm going to check to see where my guest is, because I told him it was going to be this time right now. Matt's late. Let's see here. I'm going to go give him a quick email real quick. Couple updates for you guys that haven't been to the site lately. I'm going to be in Vegas for 2 weeks 2 days. I'm going to be in Vegas for 2 days covering the Invicta, and we'll also be covering the MMA, International MMA Federation's tournament, which has about 20 girls right now that are vetted, getting ready to be vetted. So we'll be able to talk a little bit about that as well. Let me give him the number here real quick, and then I'll concentrate on you guys. But anyway, so I'll be there for 2 days between two casinos going back and forth. So it'll be interesting to say the least. I have a list of the competitors up on WombatSports.com. You guys can check it out there. Send that out to him. I know he's running a little bit late. Anyway, more to say. Oh, yeah. So we got the 20 competitors up on there. That's going to be the tentative list. I'll have more about who they all are and their backgrounds coming up in the next couple weeks. I want to wait for them to be all vetted and 100%. And then I could start giving you some info about some of these girls that the International MMA Federation is bringing in for the tournament. A lot of these girls are going to be people that you're going to be hearing about within the next year or so. These girls are going to, you know, if they win the tournament, it says a lot about their amateur status. And a lot of girls, once they win the tournament, go pro right after it. So these girls are the ones to look out for. They might be the future stars of Invicta or the future stars of the UFC or the future stars of XFC or, a lot of these organizations. So please keep a lookout, because if you kind of look at what I've got cooking over there in Vegas during that week, you guys will be able to figure that out as well. And then Invicta, which is really, really good. Seven fights this time around. I know it's a little bit less than we're used to, but three of those are title fights, and it'll be interesting to see if Irina Adana can stack it up a little bit to get that title against Tanya. But Tanya's a veteran, so it's going to be interesting to see her, those two fight it out. I kind of wanted them to be on the next event, to main event. It made a lot more sense to me. I think they're a sellable fight, but we got it kind of stuck pulling it here, and I'm pretty sure it's kind of the UFC's influence wanting to Aldana to fight during International Fight Week. So that's going on as well. We've already announced the other two fights. Faith Van Duwen has officially come up on there as well. And I think, what else? Faith is facing Cyborg, and then the Atomweight Championship fight as well. Koskin versus Brown, we already announced. It's Moyle versus Amy was going to be pretty interesting, to say the least, too. So we'll be able to see that as well. Let me think here. I'll have to bring it up real quick and tell you the complete card, because I'm kind of balking on the other ones. Pani Kayanzad is going to be on the card, which I think is going to be interesting. And it's what I think is going to be a title eliminator. Let me put up my site real quick, and I can tell you all about it. For those of you who aren't familiar with who Pani Kayanzad is, she is the Cage Warriors bantamweight champion, undefeated. Let's see here. There we go. Popping up real quick. She's undefeated. I was actually thinking that she might have went into that spot against Tanya, because she's 7-0 in the Cage Warriors champion. And Pani's going against Jessie Rose Clark, who's been doing a lot of good out down in Australia. She's been campaigning to be an Invicta, and another great Aussie to look out for. So that's going to be an interesting fight. If Pani ends up winning that, she gets in a pretty prime spot right there to challenge the winner of Aldana versus Evinger. So watch out for that. If she ends up, finishing and getting her, getting her ducks in a row, as it were, that's going to be very interesting as well. Marina Shafir is going to be making her Invicta debut. She's going against Amber LeBrock, who won the Tough Enough tournament to earn her contract for Invicta. That's going to be an interesting one. I think Amber has a lot more experience as an amateur. I think she may have only lost once in her amateur career. I think a lot of people are thinking that Shafir is going to kind of walk over her. I think it's going to be a very interesting fight between those two. I think it was a really well-patched, matched fight. So we'll see what happens there. Like I said, Montenegro versus Moyle, which will be an interesting fight, too. It's going to be a step up for Jamie. to face Amy. So we'll see what goes on there. And then I mentioned Catherine Costigan versus Amber Brown. So there's a seven really cool fights going on with Invictus. So definitely check that out as well. Let's see here. Where my guest is. Confirmed last night. Might be working with a crisis real quick because I know Spike Nerd was down today. The Fight Nerd. TheFightNerd.com is where Matt's website is. Yeah. It's still down. So I'm wondering if he's working on that real quick. But, yeah, I haven't heard back from him. I told him 4 o'clock his time, and I confirmed last night. So he is not calling in. So I'm going to give him another 5-6 minutes. We can go over a little bit of news because, like I said, we've been kind of backed up for a couple weeks. Like I said, I haven't been on talking a lot about what's been going on in terms of the world of women's mixed martial arts or the women's divisions, I should say. By the way, Invicta is going to be over at the Cosmopolitan Casino in Vegas during International Fight Week. It's going to be a Thursday card, so just please make note of that, which is going to be – it's really kind of convenient for me because I have to be back on Friday. So, it's going to be very interesting to say. Let's see here. Couple other kind of quick newses real quick from Invicta's world, if the guys have been out of the loop. Russian prospect Daria Ibragimova, Ibragimova, I believe is how it's pronounced, has signed with the promotion. She's 9-1 and has won 7 straight. Her only loss has been to Cindy Dandois, she is going to be a force to be reckoned with the bantamweight, so it'll be interesting to see that as well. Immortal FC, who just started their promotion in Brazil earlier this year, they have partnered up with Invicta. They're going to be doing a very similar thing to what Tough Enough is doing with Invicta. They're going to be having a tournament in terms of what's been going on with contracts. So they're going to be doing a four-fighter Grand Prix August 8th. The winner will have an Invicta contract by the end of the night. So, and that more news on that is going to be coming up in the next couple months. I guess the promotion is trying to figure out what weight they want to do that at. So make sure you guys check that out as well. We have a new champion over in Jules. Mei Yamaguchi is the new atomweight champion. Congratulations to her. Mei is a really good gal. I want to see her fight here in the States over in Invicta. Mei is a veteran of the sport, multi-year veteran of the sport. A lot of people, believe that she's, I think she's a really cool gal. She's one of the people on my top 5 list that I have not met yet. So I would really love to meet Mei in person. But she's one that a lot of people that have been in the WMMA business for a while know who she is and how important she is to the sport. So congratulations to Mei on her win, and hopefully we get to see her Invicta at some point in time. Arlene Blanclo also coming up with a really big win. She enters the top 5 of the featherweight division over, and now she's over at Bellator. So it'll be interesting to say. I think there's only one person in the top 15 that is not over in either Bellator or Invicta, and she's fighting. She either fought this weekend or she's fighting next. So we'll see what kind of goes on there as well. Kyra Batara is fighting again. She's fighting Kyanna Rain coming up in a couple weeks. Celine Haga is also on that card. There's 3 fights, I think, on the Bama card down in California. They have a tendency to go ahead and stream those fights. So fingers crossed we'll be able to get to see that as well. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Chicago, and a lot of stuff going on in the UFC in terms of fight announcements. In terms of the bantamweights as well, I know Shayna's got cut. I got a little heat because I announced that in a group, and they're like, "What?" It's like, well, most of other places have already announced it, so get off my back. But I think Shayna's got a pretty good path for herself now. I mean, I know that she's out of the UFC, but the cool news is that she has so many opportunities outside of it. So she can go back to Invicta. I think Invicta would love to have her back. If she wants to pursue the professional wrestling group, I think that's possible. You know, she can do a lot, you know, in terms of her career outside of the UFC. So I don't see her see her looking for some of these great opportunities as well. I'd love to see her at Metamoris and fight one of the top gals over at Metamoris. You know, kind of do like what Josh Barnett's doing right now. So we'll see as what's going on with that as well. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to talk about. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be awesome. We take a look and see what the week ahead happens to be right now. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pop that up real quick. And also I'm going to take a look and see if my guest is going to be coming. I don't think he's probably going to be coming. He confirmed last night, and then he did not show up. I don't see him. Okay. I'm going to catch you up on, guys, some fights coming up this coming weekend. And I could probably tell you a couple of results from this past weekend. I've been behind because I was busy yesterday. Brittany Elkins won. I think she defeated Gabby by unanimous decision. That was at 155. So Brittany would be interesting to be in Invicta and be in the lightweight division, the burgeoning lightweight division. So we'll see how that goes on there. I know Katie Haley won. I haven't figured out how yet, so I'll know that information as it becomes available. As far as I know, I'll have to double-check on this. I think Jennifer Meyer was supposed to be fighting this weekend in Brazil, but I think Tim from WMA Today had said that card was off. So we'll see what happens there. I'll let you guys know on that as well. I don't know what happened to Montana Stewart. We'll come back to that as well. I can tell you the quarterfinals of the Malaysian Invasion Amateur Flyweight Tournament happened this weekend, and again, I'll have that more information about that coming up this week. I believe Danielle Taylor is supposed to be fighting today, but I don't know if it's going to be against Stephanie Frost. The last time I checked, it was going to be. And then we have a Romanian match coming up on Monday, so it'll be an interesting Monday match for there as well. Jesse Mealy, I want to mention, is going to be fighting this coming weekend. She's the only top 15 featherweight that's not signed to Invicta or Bellator. If with a win, I think she gets signed to one or the other. I'm more than likely it's going to be Invicta, so we'll see what happens with that. With that in mind, I believe Matt is finally on with us right now. Are you there, Matt?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
Hey, pretty good.
Yeah. First of all, crazy night last night. Verdum was just absolutely stupendous last night, by the way. There's got to be something to be said. He's probably one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, considering he subbed Fedor and subbed Kane, which is kind of insane if you just think about it. Really insane night last night. There were some really good fights. There were some really, you know, kind of not so late fights. Tisha won last night too. So, but it wasn't the greatest fight in the world. I think people were overreacting to say it's the most boring fight in UFC history. I've seen more boring fights in the UFC. But yeah, it was a kind of crazy night last night.
Yeah, I regret to say I haven't had a chance to completely watch the show yet. I was out a lot last night, but I've been reading the results. And I'm pretty happy that Verdum actually won that belt. That was a tough match to predict because Verdum is a guy where, you know, 9 times out of 10, you might say his opponent will win because they should just, you know, on paper they look better. But there's always that 1 out of 10 that could be the shot where he wins it. And Verdum is just really good at making that 1 out of 10 happen. And the Fedor fight is one of those fights that is like that. And this Kane fight, same thing. You know, when I was trying to think of who was going to take that fight, I was thinking, you know, Kane's definitely better and well-rounded. But Verdum is such a crafty veteran. He's been around the block. His striking has gotten a lot better over time. But I just figured the size of Kane and just the power that he has would be a big factor. But Verdum just, wow. I'm looking forward to actually watching the event a little bit later today and just checking out what happened. And I'm also happy to hear that Alvarez won. Good to see him back in the winner's circle. And yeah, if you're talking about, you know, most boring fights, I'm pretty sure whatever the match was with Torres and Hill, that can't be as bad as Kimbo Slice and Houston Alexander.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of it dealt, and that seems to be the winning theme last night, was the altitude. Verdum had been out there for like a month, you know, conditioning himself. And I guess Kane hasn't been there, you know, by maybe a week. So he wasn't as conditioned. And he didn't look like Cardio Kane when he was there as well. I mean, we're seeing a little lot more tired Kane Velasquez coming into round two. So I'll give you that spoiler. But, yeah, it's going to, you know, it was interesting to say the least. They were saying the same thing about it. It was a bigger cage, too, and a lot of people, I know Fightonomics had mentioned that if they're a smaller cage, there's more ability for people to get knocked out in terms of that as well. And, you know, two small 115 pounders in a very large cage, you know, spells for you're not going to get a really exciting fight. With Tisha, I think, you know, I mean, a lot of it was on the ground. Angela Hill had a really tough half guard. And, you know, and that was most of the time it was just Tisha trying to get out of that half guard to try to get to a better position. And I think a lot of people don't realize that Tisha's really kind of a points fighter. She doesn't finish a lot. Her finishing rate's not the greatest in the world. And I knew that going in. I predicted that was going to be a unanimous decision for Tisha. So, I get some of the criticism that there's there, but really, to tell you the truth, this is MMA, and sometimes it just happens that way. I'm interested to see how everything's kind of going with that as well. But let's talk a little bit about women's. Go ahead.
I was just going to chime in and say, for Angela Hill especially, it's not a big deal that she lost this fight, I think. If anything, it just kind of shows a little more of what she has to work on. I think for a fighter like her, she's going to bounce back no problems. This is not going to be a major setback for her. I think her skills are very, very good. She's going to take a little bit more time, I think, to get to the higher level. But this is a very good fight for her, even though it was a loss.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's coming in. I mean, she came in with a good Muay Thai background, but the problem is that she hasn't had a lot of MMA experience. So, you know, I think she showed some really promise because she was able to defend very, very well on the ground. So, you know, and with her last fight, I mean, it kind of showed that she could hang with some high-level competition. I think that she's got a long ways to go. She's 1-1 right now in the UFC, so she's got time to be able to kind of develop as well. I'm interested to see who they pair Angela against next. I was kind of worried to put Angela against Tisha Torres this early, but we'll see what kind of goes on with her as well. But let's talk women's Muay Thai, because I think right now we're kind of in a renaissance with women's Muay Thai. We're seeing more organizations pick up the slack. They're always interested in doing a Muay Thai fight and all that as well. What's kind of your aspect of it?
Oh, sorry, I couldn't hear you. Phone just cut out.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, should be on the camera.
Okay, sorry. I was interrupted. I was going about women's Muay Thai. That we're kind of in a renaissance right now because there's a lot more organizations, especially here in the States, that are picking up the banner and wanting to do more female fights. What's kind of your opinion about what's going on there?
Oh, I'm glad to see it happen. I think it's... I'm from New York, and New York, New Jersey. I think they've always been pretty progressive with having women on the card, having women on the main card. There's no reason not to. There's no reason not to promote female fights and female MMA as well. It's good to see it happen. It's good to see it getting more notoriety. I think the last few years, especially on the MMA side, we've had obviously Ronda Rousey helping. I think she's been a much bigger boon to the sport than Gina Carano ever was in terms of just the personality and what she can do inside the cage. So I think it's a great time to be a female fighter in pretty much any, in Muay Thai and MMA and boxing. It's a great time. The equality is being accepted. I think it's the big thing is right now it's just being more accepted by the mainstream. And that's very important for a lot of reasons. Just stepping outside of the fight world too, we're seeing this in the entertainment world where there's a bigger movement to get more women in action movies. And it's just a really good time right now overall. I think the Renaissance is a good word for it. It's really a rebirth, a new step for women in combat sports.
Yeah, you know, I think in Muay Thai in particular, just in general, Muay Thai is becoming more popular. We've seen a lot, like I said, a lot more U.S. organizations like Legacy pick up kickboxing. Lion Fights has been doing a very good job of doing that as well, and kind of forming their own little stars there as well. I mean, it's interesting to see kind of where kind of thing. Infusion's doing a great job over in Great Britain. They always have at least one female fight on their card. I'm a little bit more in depth into what's been going on in the Muay Thai scene because I always check out the Facebook page. If you guys go to female Muay Thai, you can be able to take a look at all the stuff that's been going on. And I know you're a part of that group as well. Rosie does a really great job of keeping us up to date on what's been going on. It's kind of crazy to say the least what's been going on in their side of the world as well. But I think Angela is originally from New York. She's she was in Muay Thai up there. Friday Night Fights does a really great job of streaming female fights from time to time whenever they have a card up in New York. And it's kind of interesting to think that New York has professional Muay Thai but doesn't have MMA. It's still kind of weird.
It's one of the worst things about being in New York. It's like, you know, I still got to travel to New Jersey. I can see some amateur MMA here and there, but, you know, if you want to see the pros fight, I still got to schlep all the way out to Atlantic City, and that's a pain in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of New Jersey, we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, your documentary right now. I've had Prairie on my show, and that's how actually you hooked up with me. I think that we're starting to get these gyms now that are accepting women in. I know Tiffany's out in San Diego, training at her gym as well, but Prairie's gym, I think, is a very, very unique situation and a very unique way that she's doing everything. Tell us a little bit about the documentary itself and a little bit about, Prairie and her gals out there.
Yeah, Prairie is in a really unique situation. I mean, she's kind of on the forefront of the purely female-only gym. And, you know, gym culture has typically been a lot of, dude bros, if you will. It's been a very close community. I've trained in a few different gyms before, and the environment's changed gym to gym, but I've been to a lot of places where it's just very much a dude-bro environment. It's like a lot of meatheads. I've been to other places where it's been great, and it's been more accepting, and that's the places where you usually see more. There's more women. There's sometimes older people. You know, like it's basically not just going to be that 20- to 30-year-old jock kind of person. It's more open. And Prairie's really got herself into a very unique situation, being essentially the only all-female Muay Thai academy in New Jersey, probably the East Coast. I don't know if anybody else has an all-female Muay Thai gym on the East Coast except for a Prairie. So, it's a great thing. And I basically heard about the gym the first time around reading a magazine that she was in because someone was doing an article about her in the gym. And I just thought it was a really, it would keep using the word unique. That's really what it is. It's just really one-of-a-kind idea. And just that, the fact that she was in the Jersey Shore as well just made it even more interesting to me. And it's relatively accessible to me. I'm here in Queens, New York, and for me, it's like a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive when it's not, when it's off season. So it's something I was a little bit interested in. And I originally kind of went out there with the idea of doing a sizzle reel for maybe a reality show about the gym. But as I got out there, it kind of just took on a life of its own. It wasn't what I expected it to be, and that was a very good thing. And, 18 months later, I finally got myself a movie. I got everything shot. It was an interesting experience. Very unique for me, being a male filmmaker, to be able to actually document the lives of these female kickboxers and tell them this kind of story. It was just, a unique experience for a very unique gym.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of regular boxing gyms that do the same thing. I don't think there's too many MMA gyms that do that. They have women's teams, but they still have males on the end of it. So I don't think there is a thing that does, with the exception, I think, of Charmaine. Charmaine does these little mini camps, and a lot of these girls will do these mini camps in MMA where they'll bring in female fighters. But for the most part, in terms of Muay Thai, I think that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head that does it.
Say that Prairie actually does have a co-ed class as well. There is one co-ed class at the gym where guys are allowed to come, and one of the women that actually is in the end of the documentary, in fact, she came in with her boyfriend. They started taking the co-ed class together, and he basically left after, I think, like 2 weeks. He just couldn't handle, you know, the fact that there's a lot of women there. There's a lot better than him, is my understanding. So, you know, it's not, it is, but it is mostly female Muay Thai school. There's just that one class that is, you know, for the guys, too.
Yeah, you know, I think Prairie, you know, like I said, she's kind of a pioneer in doing this as well. I mean, she's also a very accomplished fighter. In her own right, she's probably one of the more accomplished fighters here in the U.S. that people may not have heard of. You know, everybody's familiar with Tiffany Van Soest, but you know, not a lot of people are familiar with who Prairie is as well. I mean, I'd love to see Prairie kind of be in a bigger stage. You know, hopefully, you know, maybe see her at Lion Fights at some point. But Prairie, I mean, has an interesting story. In terms of her career as well. And it's great to be able to see that she's spreading kind of the word about Muay Thai to a lot of this next generation, of which, I mean, I think there are more opportunities for these girls to travel and get out and to have the ability to work their own magic around the world as well. And it'll be interesting to see kind of how you, you know, kind of look into some of these other girls' lives as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, as her school has grown over the past few years, her fight team has gotten bigger, the training has gotten better, and we even see that in the documentary, where we started filming in February 2013, and even by, like, mid-summer we came back, and there was a sudden shift in the training, and then we come back in the fall, and now it's like we came back to a whole new gym. So I think, you know, where the gym is right now, especially just talking about her gym in particular, you know, a few years from now, they're going to be a premier destination for women who want to seriously compete. And as well as women who, you know, want to just train, learn Muay Thai, maybe they want to learn self-defense, maybe they want to do it for exercise, but I think she's going to start pumping out a lot of really high-quality fighters over the next few years.
Yeah, not to mention some of these girls that you know, that do want to make the transition over from maybe an MMA background, or they want to juice up their MMA skills, so they'll take up Muay Thai. I've seen it kind of all kind of encompassed. I've seen a lot of girls that, A lot of female fighters right now are, you know, are not just interested in doing MMA. A lot of them, you know, do have a little bit of downtime. When they do have downtime, they'll take Muay Thai fights. They'll take grappling matches. They'll keep themselves sharp in terms of that as well. So in that aspect, I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some of these East Coast gals that are MMA based, you know, maybe make their trip out there to this gym to kind of tone up their skills in Muay Thai as well. So we'll see, kind of see how everything kind of goes in terms of that as well. Like I said, currently guys got an Indiegogo campaign to hopefully finish up this project as well. Do you have a timeline at which you want to kind of get this project wrapped up?
Well, at this point, especially involving the Indiegogo, it's essentially the movie itself is wrapped. The only thing that's going to change at this point is the credits, and that ties into the Indiegogo. What's happening next is, we're really trying to get it to the next step, and the next step is getting it seen, and that's really important for your listeners who might want to see this movie. You know, right now we're trying to find distribution, and to do that, we need to enter more film festivals. We need to make promotional materials. We need to start making commercial DVDs to send out to people as well. We need to start looking at getting theatrical releases, going to events and expos, being able to travel and do that, and getting seen, and basically creating more of a buzz around the movie to kind of prove to distributors that this is a viable film. This is something people want to see. And, you know, it is an uphill battle because it's essentially, if you want to break it down to a genre, it's women in sports. That's a tough thing to pitch. So it's women in sports and a documentary. So it's kind of like I'm putting myself into a really hard coffin here to get through. And it takes a lot of, I need to get basically a lot of outside support to kind of show that there is people that want to see this. And so the Indiegogo, which has, I believe, another month or so to go, we're trying to raise that money to help just get us to the next level and work on getting distribution so that we can have this movie shown to the masses.
Yeah, I know the same feeling. I'm in the middle of working my own movie right now. It's a fiction film, and it's the same genre. You know, I've been lucky to have so much support in terms of what's been going on in terms of getting any kind of scenes together or any locations together as well. So it's going to be interesting, to say the least, in terms of mine as well. I know Artemis is interested in mine. I'm pretty sure they're going to be interested in yours as well. So it'll be interesting to see kind of where kind of things head. But I'm hoping that maybe next year both of us will be showing films at the Artemis next year. And They're really dedicated to wanting to bring the female genres, you know, into perspective and get distributors out to watch these films. So fingers crossed that ends up happening next year for both of us in terms of getting our being successful in terms of our respective movies. Yeah, I mean it's great to be able to see. I think that genre is going to be expanding over the next couple of years. We've been seeing kind of a revolution in terms of these women wanting to be more empowered and have the opportunity to see some of these women doing something that that you know people said no, they can't do it, and you know they're proving everybody wrong. So it'll be interesting to say the least. I think the genre is going to be growing. I think a lot of people are you know are kind of you know say oh you know there's not very many people. I think that there's going to be a pretty good amount of people that are going to be watching this as well. So we'll see what happens with both of our films, and hopefully we can. Like I said, hopefully we'll both have a film at Artemis next year and be able to show some of these people.
Yes, absolutely. 2016 for Artemis. I will see you there. That's going to be our goal. Is we're both going to be there next year. We got to do that.
Exactly.
I agree. You know, like even you know, I'm also involved in you know the nerd world. I'm the fight nerd, so you know I'm not just into the fights. So I'm the nerd outside of those fights. So you know, I'm a big comic fan, movie fan, video game fan, and you know even I guess I believe it was last week or the week before. You know there was that big hashtag that was trending, We Want Widow, and that was a movement from a lot of Marvel fans that wanted to see more of Black Widow. And more Black Widow merchandise from Marvel and Disney. My girlfriend was actually the captain for the New York squadron of the We Want Widow flash mob. And, you know, that trended worldwide. That got coverage, you know, worldwide, Entertainment Weekly, all these big websites. And it's kind of showing that, you know, this has been a market that's been ignored for many, many years in film and other types of media. And it's a growing market. It's, you know, it's been ignored because I guess a lot of people just who have the power, essentially, they don't think it's a market. They still don't think it's a market, even though it's been a proven market. And now we're getting to the point where there's more vocalness about this, and that's important. You know, having your voice heard is a big thing, and that shows that there is an interest in this genre. So, you know, we're hoping a few years from now we're going to get more females in action movies, you know, as opposed to, let's say, in Jurassic World right now, where you've got Bryce Dallas Howard running around in stilettos for the whole movie. You know, why don't we have more Scarlett Johansson's or, you know, whoever else you can get in there? But basically, you know, long story short, this is a thing that's growing. There's a real interest in this, and it's about damn time.
Yeah, you know, and Artemis sees that. I mean, they started this year. You know, we're going to next year. I think there is a kind of a movement going on right now in terms of it. So I'm really interested to see kind of where everything kind of hinges next year in terms of it. So we'll see what kind of goes on, see if people can get up on the bandwagon, as it were, in terms of seeing some of these female fight films as well. I mean, it's going to be great to be able to see kind of where everything kind of stands next year. So I want to mention you guys can follow Matt on Twitter at Fight Nerd, thefightnerd.com. And I don't think it's down, I think, at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's currently down. We're having some internal issues. I'm hoping to have it up by the week. So, you know, if your listeners are tuning into this, you know, after this original broadcast, I'm sure by then it's going to be up and running with no problems. But just at the moment, this week we have some weird internal snags going on. So that's being fixed at the moment. But, yeah, fightnerd.com will be back very soon.
Yeah, so definitely check them out there as well. And like I said, at Fight Nerd on Twitter. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see the documentary. I'm going to be at Artemis next year watching it front row, you know, with the rest of the people next year to be able to see this documentary as well. Best of luck to you on the Indiegogo campaign. Hopefully we can get some of that funding taken care of and so you can get the word about your film.
Yeah, thank you. If you listeners want to check out the Indiegogo, you can actually go to our main website, which is thegirlfightstory.com, www.thegirlfightstory.com, and you can check out the trailers there. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And if you want to check out the Indiegogo, the link is there as well. Right now, that's the only way you can actually see the movie. If you contribute $25, you'll be able to get a digital download of the movie once we're done. And, you know, you can check out the other awards. We can put your name in the credits for a little bit more money. There's different tiers that you can enter. And even if you can't contribute right now monetarily, the biggest thing you can do to help us is just spread the word. So just spread that on your Twitters, on your Instagram, on Facebook. Just keep pushing the word, send the message around so that other people can see it and keep spreading it around that way as well. And so this way we're showing that there's an interest in this movie, and, you know, it's going to be a growing thing.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I look forward to watching it. You know, Prairie is a very interesting character. Like I said, I've had her on my show before, so I'm interested to see how everything kind of goes with that as well. We'll definitely talk to you soon, hopefully sooner rather than later, hopefully before Artemis next year at least.
Yes.
And best of luck to you coming up with this movie, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you very much, and good luck with your movie as well.
Okay, thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Matt from Fight Nerd. TheFightNerd.com. And I said the site will be back up sooner rather than later. So go to GirlFightStory.com, and you guys can check out the trailer and all that as well. Don't know if I'll be back next week, depending on how everything kind of fudges out. I think next week is Father's Day, so I might not be able to make it. But please go to WombatSports.com. You'll be able to check out everything that's been going on in terms of the news. I think we're going to have a lot more news this week, too, so make sure you guys go out to WombatSports.com. Follow us on Twitter at WombatSports and WombatSports on Facebook as well, and check all that stuff out as well. We'll see you guys coming up, probably not next week, probably in a couple weeks and all that as well. Maybe we'll do something right before Invicta and the International MMA Federation card. So we'll talk to you guys coming up in the next couple weeks. We'll see you on WombatSports.com.